Well, I'm going to name tonight's message to endure. To endure. He that endures to the end shall be saved. And God has given us all that we need to be able to endure. And endure what, actually? All the things that we come face to face with in this life. And some of them are very small indeed. Some of them very unimportant. Some of them hardly worth even worrying about. But then there's the others that try you to the very limits. Sometimes we even tend to want to question, does the Lord really, really know how much I can stand and how much I can take, because I think I've reached the end of my rope. But you'll find that when it's all said and done, you came through it just fine. Maybe it wasn't easy, and usually it isn't. But our trials, he says, that are like fiery darts that Satan throws at us, the things that we have to endure in this life are not to even be compared with the glories that wait for those who endure. And when endure, what is it we endure? Uncomfortable things. Things that are disquieting to us. That are faith testing. That are difficult. That are heartbreaking at times, that are soul-wrenching at times, that almost more than you think you can bear at times. But it's almost. That's the word, almost. God will never allow more upon any soul than what we are able to endure. And the more that we endure, the brighter we shine in God's eyes, and the greater the reward will be in that eternal kingdom that has no ending, that will go forever. And that's even in itself hard to imagine, something that never ends. So it's going to take an awful lot of worlds to put all the people on it that's on their way. And it's going to take a lot of time. But time is only relevant to us in this world. After we are in that new kingdom, time will have no meaning whatsoever. It won't even exist. It is simply something that we are dealing with in this life and in this natural body in the time that God has allowed us and set in our lifetime of what we have to endure to receive the eternal rewards, which are unimaginable. What did he say? Just wait till you see what I have for you. I can just barely endure waiting for that. My greatest joy and hope and excitement is not the rewards. Those will be great and glorious, and I'll be so thankful for them. But what I'm looking forward to more than anything else is seeing my God face to face and tell him straight on, do you know how much I love you, Lord? I know you're God and you know all things, but do you really know that? I know that he does, and I take great comfort in that, because I am just full up and overflowing with gratitude and love for what God has done for me. And I'm not referring to natural things or physical worldly possessions. Those are nice. I mean, it makes living in this world a little easier, more comfortable. But they are really not that important. They're really not. because they are all going to pass away one of these. Everything that I have now, that I've had for the past 50 years, is all rusted and broken and faded and moth-eaten and broken and wore out and no good and crashed. So things don't last in this world, no matter how much you pay for them or how pretty they are when you first get them or how much time and effort that you've invested in them. They are all still going to just pass away. You know, moth and rust will corrupt everything. Nothing lasts. Nothing lasts. I saw an advertisement here a while back on eBay, and it was about this 1957 Plymouth that they had buried in a time capsule. I think it was back in New York, but I could be wrong, but someplace like that. And it was brand new. They just took it off the showroom floor, and they wrapped it in, it wasn't bubble wrap, because they didn't have that at the time, but they put a plastic covering over it, sealed it down real well. They put it in this capsule, this box that they built for it, and they sealed the box up real good so that it wouldn't leak or anything. And they dug a hole in the ground, they put this thing down in there, and they were going to leave it in there until, I think it was the year 2000, I think it was. 2000. I could be wrong on that too. But when they dug it up and they're getting ready to really see this brand spanking new Plymouth, it might have been a Fury, but I'm not sure about that either. But it was a brand new car. And they showed a picture of it. And it was, it was beautiful. It'd be worth a piece of change today. But the moment they dug it up, they found the hole was full of mud. So expectations began to fall, and they lifted it about this sump hole, and over the years water had risen and gotten into it or rained on it or whatever, but anyway, water got into it, and when they unwrapped it with all that plastic wrapping and everything, oh, what a mess. I mean, it was rusted, the fenders hanging off of it, holes in it, the seats, everything rotted. And this moth and rust did corrupt that really, really bad. And their expectations that they had, everybody standing around had hundreds of people ready to open this up and see this classic that they spent all these years waiting to open that capsule. And all the time and money invested and anxiously awaiting and so forth came to nothing. They've got it on show someplace. I don't know why. I mean, not anything to look at, but they're showing it someplace. But I thought about that, Lord, all the effort and so forth they went through, and it means nothing. It just rotted away. Rotted away. It meant nothing. Nothing in this world is going to last you. Even the things that you have to endure are not going to last forever. They are just a few short more years that you have to endure. Whatever it is. And most of it that you endure, you think is really, this is just too much. In a year or two down the road, like in past, you find it, that wasn't all that bad after all. The terror that I was afraid of, it didn't really manifest that much. It's mostly just in our minds that we build these mind wars and these fantasies that we think this is going to be that way and that's going to happen and I'm going to feel like this and that's not going to work. We worry about foolish things that have no meaning whatsoever in our life. The things that we need to concentrate on is our walk with Jesus Christ. To become pleasing to Him so that when we stand at that door or that place, wherever it is, He says, enter, my beloved, into the joy of the Lord. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. I can't think of anything in this life that any of us cannot endure, especially when we have His promise. That He won't allow anything to come upon us that we cannot endure. He won't allow it. You don't have to worry about what if. Just keep those thoughts out of your mind. It has nothing to do with you and your God. There's no what ifs. It's going to be the way He wants it to be. And it's always going to be for your good. Always. We try at times to figure out why this happened or why that happened or what will I do if this doesn't come to pass or if it does, what do I do about this? It's got nothing to do with what is really important. What is really important is your walk in Jesus Christ. How pleased is He with you? Do you stay faithful in the things that He's put you in charge of? The things that He's blessed your life with to give you callings and so forth in your life? Have you proven a worthy storekeeper? Have you been faithful in the things that He's laid at your feet and asked you to take care of and to do? We have been warned so many times by the Lord to know and to be ready for the things that will come to pass in the end days. None of us know what's going to happen in the years to come. But we have had it so easy in the past 40-some years that we've been here. Now, all of you haven't been here that long, but I'm talking about the building, since the building has been here, since the men of the church built this building, or that one over there, those two there, and then this one. But it's about 42 years, something like that, since 1977, I believe, something like that. That sounds like a long time, but it's really not. Especially when I look back at it, and it's, man, where did it go? It just popped, it's finished with. Here we are, 2016 coming up. One more month and so, and it'll be 2016. That's almost unbelievable. So it shows you how quickly things go past. And what have any of us really suffered? Really. I mean, count it up. What have you really had to endure? Now, there's been things that have made you physically sick. Some things that have been made you physically inapt to be able to function the way you did before. There's been things that happens in your life. It was heartbreaking and sad, and some things that you thought you just couldn't go on with it because of it. But through all of it, God has always made a way to endure. Always. And we've come through it stronger and better and closer to God because of it. Because it's proven to us that no matter what happens in this life, in these years that we have, He will never allow more than we can endure. Some of us have reached the point of where nothing worse could happen. That I feel that way. I don't think there's anything worse that could happen to me in this life than my wife passing away 2 years ago. That was my greatest fear that I had all the time I knew her, was one day I might lose her. And it happened. And I didn't think I could bear it. I really didn't. I was terrified of it because I thought I would just simply lose my mind because my life would be gone. But I'm still here. I still have the joy of the Lord in my soul. Still have you. Still got friends closer than any relatives that I have, actual relatives. I've got family that is closer than any family that I've ever had. I've got multitudes of things to be grateful for. And to me, to endure, that was the only thing that I had to endure that I wasn't sure I could. So I can tell you tonight, there is nothing that will happen in your life that you won't be able to endure if you stay close to God. That is His promise. And God cannot lie. It's not that He won't. He can't. It's just not in His makeup. He cannot tell a lie. If He says it, you can close the book on it. It's done. So don't worry about things you cannot control. Concentrate on the things you can control. The things you can control is how you live your life in Jesus Christ. How close you walk to Him. How close do you want to be to Him? Do you just want to make it in? Just make it? I don't want to just make it. I mean, I have to make it. I have to. I mean, I have to. That's it. I'm going to. But I don't want to just make it. I want to be as close to Him as I can possibly get. I want Him to welcome me in with joy because I was faithful to Him all the way through. I'm not talking about the times I messed up and made bad mistakes, and some of them wasn't so bad, and some of them were pretty bad. None of us are perfect. If we were, we'd receive the Holy Spirit, we'd be gone. No point in staying here. We are filled with that Holy Spirit so we can be trained to become ambassadors of worlds yet to come and to be populated with those that will come after us through eons and eons of time. His word tells us that. Not too much longer we must endure. We continue to grow more in spirit, which is the only kind of growth that even counts for anything. Spiritual. Turn to Galatians 5, I believe. Yeah, 5. Galatians 5. Yep, this is the one I want. Galatians, the 5th chapter. Starting in verse 22. We won't read the ones before because those are works of the flesh. They have nothing to do with us. Have nothing to do with us. We that walk in the Spirit, we walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. We are to become as much like Him as humanly possible. And it is very possible when He has given us His Spirit to guide us and to train us. So this is what He's trying to make out of us so that we can be kings, priests, rulers over kingdoms and worlds that haven't even been built yet, but which have no end. They will be forever. Every time I look up in the sky and I see all those blinking lights, those multi-trillion that you can't even figure out what they are. They may be balls of gas. They may be planets. They may be, galaxies. There are just so many of them, and they're so far away, we don't know. Well, we don't lack for a place for His people that are to come ahead of us or behind us, for them to be, to populate. But this is what we must become in order to be put in as a king or a priest over any of these worlds, these kingdoms that He sets in. The fruit of the Spirit. This is what must be manifest in our life continually. First of all, love. Love. We have studied on love for so many years that we can memorize what love is. It's not, oh, I love this dress, or I love this car, or I love this little Yorkie, or I love this whatever. I love this banana cream pie. It's my favorite outside of macadamia nut. Love that passes all human understanding. Joy. Joy. It's full of glory, excitement, fulfillment of all that is good. Peace. Peace. God's peace, not the peace that the world knows. It's not that kind of peace. Peace to the world is when everything is going right. You know, there's no problems. That can change in an instant. You can get up in the morning and, man, everything is right with the world. Oh, the sun is shining. Snow's not there. It's beautiful spring day. You got it planned out. Going to go on a picnic with your family. Just everything is just great, man. No problems. And that can change in an instant. All you have to have is just somebody or something mess up your plans. And your joy or your peace goes out the window. Something someone said. A look. It's, well, they looked like, what sounded like, well, I felt. Oh, how many times have I heard those ridiculous expressions? You don't know what somebody is feeling, or because of they look at you in a certain way, what they're thinking about you. Check your own heart and your own mind and your own relationship with God to see why you would think on the negative rather than on the positive. Maybe they're looking at you and they don't even pay attention to what their expressions are being. Maybe they're just saying, man, I sure do like that person. I sure do like that. Really respect them. Oh, they do such a good job. You know? And you don't always control your facial expression. I mean, you look kind of ridiculous all the time. No matter what happens, just... I mean, you don't do that all the time. And what needed to be, well, I don't know, maybe I do a lot. Alice used to say, get that frown off your face. And I didn't know I was frowning. I didn't have anything to frown about. I just was pondering. I was pondering. Well, ponder with a smile, she would say. Long suffering. Oh, this is one. This is a real good one. Long suffering. That is not meaning that you have to be in pain for a long time. Long suffering means to continually allow the other person to be the other person. How many times do I have to forgive my brother or sister who offends me? 7 times? No, I say not unto thee seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, continually, as long as they ask with a sincere heart of repentance. If someone has hurt you in a manner and they come to you with true sorrow and ask your forgiveness, you have no choice but to forgive them. But now, this is where a lot of people misunderstand forgiveness. The only kind of forgiveness God recognizes is His kind. Now, do you want to be forgiven the way God forgives or the way whoever forgives? Because I've heard the expression, and sometimes it was accommodated by laughter. That kind of, it wasn't really funny, but they thought they needed to make that so it didn't sound quite so bad. Well, I'll forgive you, but I won't ever forget it. What would we do if the Lord forgave in that manner? That's not forgiveness. That's not even in the guise of forgiveness. Forgiveness, true forgiveness, is that you forgive and forget. And that is not as easy done as it sounds. That takes a true heart of Jesus Christ to be able to do that. And that's why it is so necessary for you to be in the Spirit all the time. Because by what judgment you judge another, that is the judgment you will be judged by. We forget that sometimes. But that is what He said as far as forgiveness is concerned. So, if you want to be forgiven, truly forgiven, don't do the things that require forgiveness. It's a lot easier to do that than it is to get someone to truly forgive you. Sometimes the hurt is, or the transgression is just so much, it's almost, not fully, but almost impossible. Without the Holy Ghost, some people would never be able to forgive certain things. But with Jesus Christ, all things are possible. And as you forgive another, your brother, your sister, that is how you will be forgiven. How many times when you want to think, well, yeah, but somebody really hurt me. Picture Jesus Christ in Pilate's hall when his horror began with cursing him, spitting in his face, slapping him, pulling his beard out with their hands, just jerking it out. I mean, we forget sometimes that there was much more to his suffering than what happened outside those doors. It began in Pilate's hall. And the beatings that he took, those things were for our healings. That's for our healings. In the blood he shed, innocent, pure, holy, righteous, loving blood that he could have called. All he had to do is call Michael. That's all he would have needed. That one angel could have cleaned the plate. That would have done it. If I wanted to, I could call my father and he would send 10,000 legions of angels. But he didn't do it. That's not what he came for. So if he can forgive those that did him the way they did, and all he gained from it, if you want to look at it that way, his gain, what did he gain from that horror that he suffered, that agony, that we can't even imagine. We can't even conceive of the agony and the horror that our Lord had to suffer that day. And he did it because he wanted a people that would love him and he could share his kingdom with. That the only way that they would be able to become holy and dwell in that place of holiness was to become like him. And the only way they could do that was to have his spirit within them to guide them along the way. That's why he gives the Holy Spirit. Not because it feels good. Not because it leads you in this way and that way. But because he could share his kingdom with a people that loved him. He wanted a family. He wanted a family that loved him. And he endured all of that. The door is wide open. Whoever wants to enter that door, I come and knock on that door. And whoever will open it, I will come into him. Jesus doesn't open the door. We have to open the door. And the world and all the riches of it are ours simply for the asking, if it's that important to us once we're born again. But I found that all the desires of my heart and the dreams that I had before I became awake in God became as nothing. It just, Paul says, I count all things as dung that I might attain Christ. I can understand that. One time I didn't know what he was talking about. I understand even what he meant. I fully understand now how he felt. To have Jesus Christ in your life and to walk and be led by him and trained by him, to become like him so that we can rule and reign. I'm not looking forward to ruling anyone. I mean, that's not my ambition. It's just what comes with the territory. When you serve the Lord faithfully here, he's going to make you in charge of many things there. So whatever he wants, that's fine with me. I just want to be where he is. I just want to be there. And I know the only way I can be there is to follow these instructions right here and endure whatever comes into my life. And I will endure it. I will endure. And I don't say that casually either, because, I mean, just because one heartache is gone and I don't have to face that again, I don't know what lays ahead. I have no idea. But I've got his word that he won't allow more upon me than I can bear. In that, I can endure. I know I can. And so can you. So can we all. Because if we suffer with him, we will. We will definitely reign with him. The more we overcome down here, the closer you will be to him there. Turn to Acts. Let's see, I think it's Acts I want. I think it is. Yeah, turn to, not Acts, but turn to John, the 6th chapter, just only one verse. John chapter 6, where are we? Verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but labor for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Labor for the meat that perishes not, which you endure unto everlasting life. Turn over to Acts, the 5th chapter, verse 40. Acts 5, verse 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, this is Peter and Paul, they commanded that they would not speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. Now, can you imagine that somebody throwing you in jail and telling you, beating you up really bad, and then throwing you out and telling you, now don't you mention this man Jesus anymore. What did the apostles do when that happened? And the apostles departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy. If you don't suffer for him in this life, if you don't suffer persecution or condemnation or physical pain or anguish or heartbreak or something that tries your faith, then you are very weak in the spirit and you won't last very long. But not only were they rejoicing because they were counted worthy to suffer shame, they were counted worthy to suffer shame and beatings. God looked upon them with pleasure because of their steadfastness and their faith in him, and they felt honored to suffer for his name's sake. I would ask you tonight, without a show of hand, just to think about it, would you feel honored to suffer for him? Think about that. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. All he did was light a fire under them. They wanted to be counted worthy to suffer shame and disgrace. Turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, starting in verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Ghost within you bears witness that you are children of God. And if you're children, then you're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. If we suffer with him. We cannot get out of suffering. We cannot get out of it. Suffering, physical and mental anguish. It is in our predestination. It is going to happen. If it hasn't happened to you yet, it will happen to you. And if it doesn't happen to you, I would beseech you to seek God for it. Because if you don't suffer with him, you won't reign with him. And I don't think there's any here tonight that is so weak that you can't suffer with him for whatever degree he requires. Why must we suffer with him? I don't know why we have to suffer. I don't know why blood is required. But it's not my place to question. He's God. He makes the rules. I'm just a piece of mud. been honored by the King himself to be able to live eternally with him in his kingdom. And not just to live there, but actually rule and reign worlds to come with him. That is mind-boggling. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Now this 13th chapter, 1 Corinthians, those of you that don't know, and I doubt if there's more than two or three people here, if that many, that don't know what the 13th chapter of Corinthians is. We call it the love chapter. And this describes God's love, the only kind of love that is even recognized by him. It's not like, well, I love this, I love that, I love him, I love her, I love whatever. I love going, I love staying, I love having, I love have not. His love, the kind of love that he recognizes, and the only kind of love he recognizes. And if we are going to rule and reign in that eternal kingdom, we must have this type of love in our heart and practicing it daily. Now, I'm substituting the word love for the word charity in here, because the word charity in the Bible means love. It doesn't mean giving to the poor. That was changed someplace by the English language sometime, whatever. But in here, the word charity means love. Verse 4, love suffers long. It suffers long. Now, suffer doesn't mean you hurt for a long time or you're in pain constantly. Suffer means to allow. The word suffer, like I said, suffer little children to come to me, allow the little children to come to me. See, some words in the Bible, not very many, but there's a few that the meaning is different than what it is in our English language. And charity in a lot of languages around the world means love. And to suffer in a lot of languages means to allow. So here he's saying allow. Charity allows and is kind. What is suffers long? We allow long. What does that mean? We allow. Suffer long. Transgressions against you. Those who transgress against you, cause you hurt, or cause you anguish, or cause you physical, or mental, or financial, or whatever. Whatever. The cost. How many times they transgress against you? How many times you have to forgive them? Twice? Once? One time, and that's it. Well, by whatever mercy you show to another, that's the mercy that God will show to you. Whoa, well, let's back up and refigure that then. Yes, let's do that. Now, how many times do you want God to forgive you? Every time I ask. Okay, well then you have to apply that answer to everyone that transgresses against you. Because as you forgive, so shall you be forgiven. With mercy, what mercy you deal to another person, that's the mercy that God will deal with you. Scripture, read it, it's in the Bible. God's ways are not our ways, but our ways have to be God's ways. So love continually forgives. It is kind. It doesn't envy good things that happen to someone else. Well, I mean, I can't believe he got that or she got that. How come I didn't get it? I can't believe that they inherited that. Wonder how much I could get from them. Why wasn't it me? They don't deserve that. It's terrible things that people think. But people think them all the time. But God's people can't think those things. We cannot think them. Why can't we? Because if you're caught in your mind those things which are not of God, you will not be taken up, because he cannot take up what is not in accord with him. And selfishness and greed is not in accord with him. Amen? Okay. How many of you are with me tonight? Okay, I didn't want to be sure. It does not vaunt itself. Now, vaunt itself. In other words, put yourself out in front. Pick the choicest places for you. It's, if there's some attention to be given, give it to me. I'm more important than anybody else out there. Don't vaunt yourself. And is not puffed up. What has anyone ever done that they can be puffed up and proud of? Now, you can have pride in your work. You should have. I don't know, because I can't think of another word other than pride. But take pride in the things you do. Take responsibility. Want it to be as the best as you can do. But not like, hey, I did this. Wonder what happened to the fellow that, by my own hand, I brought this great and mighty Babylon out there, and I'm the one that did it. Next thing you know, he's eating grass. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? A long time. Anybody know how many months or years he was out in the fields until his fingernails grew down like claws? His hair came clear down over his back. Was he out there days? Weeks, months, years? Anybody know? How long? 7 years? How many people agree with 7 years? Okay. You're right. 7 years. He ate grass. There's not much nourishment in grass. But cows eat it. They do pretty well. And it does not behave itself unseemingly. That doesn't mean you can't joke and kid around every now and then. There's one or two people here that keep me in stitches most of the time. And I love their company because they do that. But if that's all they ever did, that would get old after a while. There's two sides to each one of them. But deceiving yourself unseemingly, being where you shouldn't be, doing the things you shouldn't be doing, watching or saying things you shouldn't be watching or saying, with someone that you shouldn't be with, that's doing things they shouldn't be doing, that you're doing also, or at least you're with them while they're doing it. In other words, don't do anything that the Lord himself wouldn't do. That is a good rule to follow. What are we, saints? What are we? What are we? We are Christians, right? All right. So Christians are what? Are like Christ. All right. If Jesus don't do it, did I say that? All right, well, it's been a long day. If Jesus doesn't do it, we don't do it. If he does, then we can. We are to be like him in all things. And Jesus had a sense of humor. He had a tender, loving heart. He also knew when to draw the line and when enough was enough. Because he took a chain one time and tied knots in it and put a bunch of nails in it and beat them out of that money changer's place. Remember that? Anything wrong with that story? Nobody's going to call me on that. What did he chase them out of that place with? Was it a chain with nails tied into it? No. No, he didn't raise any blood while he was in there. He was angry, yes. He had a right to be. That was God's house of prayer, and they were making it a den of thieves. So he takes a cord, and he braids it, and he goes in there and chastises them right out of that place. Now, that cord must have stung and hurt a little bit, or they wouldn't have moved. It had to have something in it. But he wasn't out to damage them, just to teach them a lesson, to remove them where they shouldn't be doing what they shouldn't be doing. And it worked. It worked. So that doesn't give us the right to draw blood simply because someone does something we don't approve of. It doesn't seek its own and is not easily provoked. Oh, that is one right there. Not easily provoked. That one some could do a little work on. Drop a hat, they're ready to jump you. And they think, listen to this, saints, they think no evil. Well, they looked like they were, well, sounded to me like, well, it felt like. You know what that is? That's Satan up there whispering in your ear, telling you these things to make you think aught against a brother or sister, making you think evil. We're saints of God. We don't do that. We give everyone the benefit of the doubt. If a mistake has been made, it's possibly my own. I will ask before I draw a conclusion. Perhaps I am the one in error. It's very possible. Don't think evil. If you do that, you're just simply, yeah, yeah. And he's up here whispering, you're the quick. You listen. You listen. Satan's not going to appear in front of you big and ugly. He's a beautiful creature. Beautiful. Most beautiful angel God ever created. And he's wise and subtle and evil beyond measure. And he is out to destroy you. Not because he hates you. You're not even important to him. Because he wants to destroy anything that God has in his house. Don't think evil. Chase it out of your mind, out of your thoughts. Just don't do it. Don't give Satan a victory over anything like that. Just start praising God. Start singing a good gospel song. And we know plenty of them. I don't just sing here at church. I sing all the time. I love to sing. I used to sound pretty good. Now y'all are just being kind and generous, and I appreciate it. Just don't change it. Don't tell me the truth. We don't rejoice in evil, but we do rejoice in the truth. We bear all things. We believe all things. Now, I don't mean we believe everything we're told. We believe all things in here. All things. That's the only thing the spiritual is concerned with, is God's word. What are you going to believe? God. There's nothing else that's important to believe. And we endure. We endure all things. And those that endure to the end will be, shall be, guaranteed to be saved. Now, isn't that what it's all about? All about. We have, I only got half my, half of it. I still got, see how many people got left. But it's late and I won't keep you any longer. Maybe I'll finish this up another time. But we've got two or three that are seeking for the Holy Spirit. And I know what that's like as well as all of you know what it's like. To not be sure of what you need to do or how you do it or what you say or how you act or what you pray. You don't know. You're not supposed to know. I mean, you're brand new at it. All you have to do and all you have to know is to believe that God is God and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That's the only requirement. You must believe that God is God, and He will reward you for diligently seeking Him. Diligently, with all of your heart, mind, and soul. Nothing else matters. Salvation is all that matters. Born again, ready for that calling of the bride. We don't know how much time we have left. I want these gentle souls filled with the Spirit of life that we have all, most of all of us anyway, have been blessed and filled with. I want them to know how I feel all the time. This didn't just flash in and flash out. It flashed in and it's still there. And I'm never going to let it go. So let's pray with them and for them to get what they're hungering for. They don't know what to say. They don't know how to act. They just don't know, just like every one of us. We were in the same place that they're in right now. And if God filled me with His Spirit, they don't have a problem. I don't worry about the rest of you. I got my own story. I know the mercy of God is unbounding. And all He wants is their love and obedience. That's all He wants. Just to be loved by them. And for them to want to know Him fully and completely. And the Holy Spirit is theirs. And when they get it, they're going to know it. Nobody's going to have to tell them, well, you got it. Yeah, if you can catch them. Praise Him. Will you stand with me?